You go to that factory, and as long as you're there, when you go, you're not working for your boss. You say, I'm not? No. You're not even working for your paycheck. I'm not? No. You're working for God.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Halleck, and Pastor Mark, and I would love to extend an invitation to you if you do not have a church home. Maybe you've been listening to Straight Talk for a while, or you just tuned in today. Come and give us a visit. We would love to have you. We'd love to meet you and hear your story. There's over 30 celebrations on a Sunday morning. Some are in English, some are in Spanish, some are even in Mandarin Chinese. And if you'd want more information, visit our website at www.newlifechicago.org. And even if it's not New Life, find a church home somewhere and get involved and get invested, because it's been one of the greatest resources for the growth of my faith and in so many other people's lives. We believe it's God's design that you don't float around as a Lone Ranger Christian, but that you develop your faith in the context of community. So we'd love to meet you. Come and visit us. Or visit somewhere and get connected. You can get more information at newlifechicago.org.
Thanks, Josh. Today we continue with the second half of our message called Rethinking Your Job, From Curse to Blessing, which is from Pastor Mark's series called God at Work. Our text will be found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk.
I believe as believers, our work should fall into the category of worship. That when we work, we are doing this for God, we are doing this to God, and we are doing this God's way. Does that make sense? Oh, you say, Pastor, that's easy for you to say. You work at a church. And if I worked at a church, I could see it as worship too. You come into the office, everybody's praying, there's Bibles all over. There's Hosanna music in the background playing. Someone comes in, you just pray over them. There's a holy environment. You don't work where I work, man. Where I work, everybody cusses and swears and whistles at girls and ready to fight. And there's envy. Man, my work is definitely not a worship place. Pastor, you need to get out like the real world, and you're not going to have that idea. Well, I understand that. It's easy to view a church more as a worship, and the environment that I work with, it may be easier to view it that way. But I'm going to tell you, no matter if you're working at a church or non-for-profit, or you're working as a construction worker on the Dan Ryan, I'm going to tell you that there are certain principles that apply, and I believe that no matter what your job is, no matter what you work, it's your mentality that turns it into worship. It could be a curse, it could be an idol, or it could be worship. And if you travel with me, I think that everybody on Monday, when you go to work on Monday, I hope that you can go with a whole different perspective. In fact, I hope that you go with a God perspective. Gallup poll did a survey and discovered that only about half of American workers are satisfied with their jobs. Secondly, we wrongly think that work is simply to provide a paycheck, when in reality, it's part of our calling. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you think, man, I go to work because I have to pay my mortgage? If I didn't have to pay my mortgage, man, I would not go to work. It's just a paycheck. I endure it, but it's just a paycheck. It's a lousy job. My boss is ungrateful. My coworkers stink. The environment's depressing. But hey, at the end of the week, I get a paycheck. So as long as I get a paycheck, I'm going to just put my nose to the grind, get my paycheck, and that's it. I want you to know that it's more than just a paycheck. And let me just explain that to you for a second. God created man, gave him jobs right from the beginning. Paradise was not job-free. Part of what made paradise was working at something meaningful. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, it says, God said to man, he created him, and he didn't say, hey, rig yourself up a hammock, figure out how to make a margarita, and spend your days tanning. He didn't tell man that. He said this: be fruitful and multiply, fill and subdue the earth, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of heaven and over every living creature that moves. God gave him a task. The task was to organize the garden, subdue the garden, make the garden fruitful. He gave him basically a farming responsibility over what he had given him. He gave him work. Some of you may not even realize this, and boy, I hate to bust your bubble here, but some of you, when you think of heaven, what do you think of? Sometimes we just haven't had time to pause and think of heaven. And some of us have this really weird view of heaven. You've seen too many Sistine Chapel paintings and watched too many cartoons. Your idea of heaven is that when you die, somehow you're going to go up and live on clouds. And there's going to be a bunch of obese little fat angels flying around and playing harps. So especially men, I talk to men sometimes, they're like, heaven's, I don't know if I want to go to heaven. Just kind of hang out with little obese angels. They're a little weird looking anyways. Then that's not heaven. You have a wrong perspective of heaven. Actually, do you know, oh, let me bust your bubble here. Do you know that heaven will actually have jobs? It tells us in Scripture that we will rule and reign with God, that there will be responsibilities, that we will actually be doing things. This is a heavenly existing community in which we operate in harmony and God is at the center, but we're not just floating around in space, mindlessly playing cloud surfing. That's not heaven. There's a different perspective there, because before the curse there was work. During our lifetime now there's work, and even in heaven there will be jobs and responsibilities. Heaven is not devoid of jobs and calling and gifting and responsibility. And part of really understanding what God has called us to do is that our job is not just simply a paycheck. It's part of our calling. I want you to understand that God has wired you with gifts and talents. And maybe your job connects to your gifts or talents, and maybe it doesn't. Some of you have the privilege of working at places where you utilize your talents and gifts. And the things that you like to do, you're actually doing. And you go to your job and you say, I love my job. Because all the things that I know how to do, I'm doing at my job. And you just say, man, it doesn't even feel like work. Because I go there and the very things I love to do, I'm doing. How many of you feel like that? Okay, some of you do. It's a minority of you that feel that way, by the way. Most people, or a lot of people, feel like they go to work and they have a lot more to give than what they're doing at their job. And that a lot of the gifts and talents that they have, they're not really putting to work at their job. But the truth is that our calling, whatever we do, our vocation, whatever we're working at, whatever you're doing, is a part of your calling, that God has put you in that place. And whether it's taking advantage of all your gifts or not, God has put you in that place. And while you're doing your job, you are doing it not for your boss, but you're doing it for God. And you're doing it with a God mentality, a God perspective. And you're saying, God, I'm offering this to you so that you would get the honor and the glory. Amen? That's a really half-hearted amen. All right, so you're not totally convinced of this. I'm going to convince you more. Number three, we wrongly think that work is unspiritual, but in reality, work is part of our ministry. So look at me. Those of you that are not convinced that your job is important and that you can do your job as an act of worship, notice what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24. Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. Nothing's better for man that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw from the hand of God. It tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, by the way, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. Well, that would make us work fast. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now, such persons we command and encourage in the Lord to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Paul is basically saying, hey, and some of the Thessalonians believers who he was talking to had gotten real spiritually minded and they thought Jesus was going to come back really soon. So some of them had quit their jobs and saying, why work? Man, Jesus is coming back soon. I'm just going to wait for his coming. I don't want to work. Jesus is coming back. I might as well not waste my time working. And Paul says, hold on a second. And some of them were arguing, well, I'm not going to waste my time working. I'm just going to do ministry stuff. Why should I work if Jesus is going to come back? I'm just going to throw myself into ministry stuff because Jesus is coming back. And Paul said, hold on a second. Jesus is coming, but you need to follow your call and you need to go to work. And if you decide not to go to work, then don't eat. Because everybody should earn their own living, pay their own way. Work is a good thing. In Colossians chapter 3, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time in this passage, we're going to hit on it later in the series. I love what it says in Colossians chapter 3. Look at it, underline it, mark it in your Bible because it is very powerful. Colossians 3, the apostle says, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord and not for man. Well, can I just talk to you about that for a second? All right, so your job, you get up in the morning, you have to go to that assembly line where you're working on something, your boss is a tyrant, the pay's not very good, your coworkers are gossipers. As soon as the supervisor's not around, everybody relaxes, hangs out. Someone watches for him. As soon as he comes in, everybody back to work. You figure the company doesn't pay employees enough. The work environment is not good. Why should I give my best to a company that's pretty lousy? That makes sense? Why should I work hard for people that don't appreciate you, that underpay you, that's full of politics? And so you go to work and you fall into everybody else's system.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message called Rethinking Your Job, From Curse to Blessing. It's part of Pastor Mark's series called God at Work. Stay tuned and I'll tell you more about how you can get a copy of tonight's message as well as information on the ministry of Pastor Mark at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to our message called Rethinking Your Job, From Curse to Blessing. We're in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 15.
I remember for a while while I was in college, I worked at a can factory on an assembly line. And we were putting tops and bottoms on aluminum cans. And that was the scenario. We're working on the assembly line. I soon learned that there was a lookout when the supervisor wasn't there. But he'd kind of go in the bag, pull out a little cigarette, smoke a little bit, and they had a lookout. And then when the boss was coming around, he would signal to everybody, and everybody go back to the job and kind of act like they're working and so forth. And that was just kind of, and the mentality was, listen, you don't kill yourself doing hard work, because then if you do real hard work, they're going to expect you to do it every day. You don't want that. You want them to think that production's low because they don't really pay you well. Their attitude stinks. They're an ungrateful company. So don't give your best to a company that doesn't appreciate you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? The mentality's out there. Paul challenges that mentality and he says, no, you're a believer. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. So here's the mindset I want you to have. You go to that factory, and as long as you're there, when you go, you're not working for your boss. You say, I'm not? No. You're not even working for your paycheck. I'm not? No. You're working for God. You show up at that job And even when your boss is not working, you do it as good as you can, because ultimately there is someone that is looking. His name is Jehovah. He is the God of the universe, looking at the job that he has given you, inspecting what you're doing. You don't sit back and have a cigarette when it's job time, because when it's break time, you break. And when it's work time, you work hard and you take on a different mentality and you have an attitude that's different. Why? Because in the morning on your way to work, you're saying, God, I'm offering this job to you. I'm going to do it with all my heart and I'm going to do it as unto you, because it's not my boss that determines my paycheck. Ultimately, it's you that determines my paycheck. You are my sustainer. You are my financial security. I don't sell my soul to this job, but I don't lose my soul at this job either. I don't compromise and lie and cheat at this job if they expect me to. Hey, listen, secretaries, if you're here and your boss tells you to lie, you better let them know up front, I don't lie. You say he's my boss. He's your boss, not your God. Tell him I'm not in. Excuse me, sir. I don't lie. Just tell him I'm not in. I don't lie. Tell him I'm in the bathroom. Then, sir, go to the bathroom so I can tell him that. Seriously, I want you to know something. Some of us sell our soul and believe that our boss owns us. And some of you act like your boss owns you. And some of the bosses act like they own you. Listen, you need to make clear that you have an owner and a standard and a morality. And that you're willing to do hard work, but you don't compromise your morality. You don't lie, you don't cheat, and you don't sleep with anybody to climb up the ladder, because you're a child of God, a person of God, full of the Spirit. And if they threaten to fire you, listen, let them fire you, because they're not the one that determines your finance. God determines your finance. It changes your perspective about work, because you'd go to work, and if you're working for your boss, if you have a lousy boss, you'll be very miserable, because you'll feel like, do all this work and they never notice. And they promote politically. And he's sleeping with that girl over there, and he seems like she gets the raises. And I'm doing my job, working hard, and you know what? I'm passed up. And if you go with that mentality, you become disgruntled, critical, negative, and won't do your best. But if you have a mentality that I'm working for God, and what I do for God. And ultimately God sees and God knows, and my reward is ultimately from God. I want to be a good worker, but ultimately I'm doing this for God. I don't lose my soul. I don't lose my morality. And I don't lose my attitude to someone that doesn't recognize me. And even when they don't see, God sees. And even when they don't pay well, I know that I have a reward in heaven. And as I work hard, and if I need to switch jobs, then I look for a better job opportunity. But while I'm doing this job, no one should ever be able to say I was a lousy worker, because ultimately God sees how I work. There's something very powerful and compelling about that. Luke chapter 16 verse 10 says, whoever is faithful in what is the least is also faithful in the much. And he who is unjust which is in what is the least is unjust also in the much. I love what Dr. Paul Stevens said about work. He said this: our work enters into God's work, but God does work we cannot do, and God is working when we are not. Fourthly and lastly, we wrongly think that we are happiest without work, when in reality we are most fulfilled in our work. In the beginning, we see the pattern, as I spoke to you before. The pattern of God. Here's God's pattern. I work, I enjoy, and I admire. Do you realize that in the first chapter of Genesis, in chapter 1, there are 7 times in just one chapter where it says, and God saw it, and it was good. What did he see that was good? His work. 7 times. This worker God is working. He's working hard. He's being creative. And he's stopping and saying, hey, what I did was good. He's proud of his work. He's thrown himself into his work. His work represents who he is. He created us in his image. We are his workmanship. Created in the likeness of Christ Jesus, your work should represent you. If you're a person of integrity, your work should represent your integrity. If you're a person that really wants to honor God, your work should represent honoring God. The quality of your work, the creativity of work, the energy of your work should represent who you are. God's work represented him. And when, because God is good, what he did was good too. So he would do his work and then he would step back and he would look at what he did and he would say, it is good. It is very good. In verse 31, it says, God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. It was Desmond Tutu that said, when God created the earth, he did it completely without our help. But from the very moment that men and women first arrived on the scene, God did something completely astounding. He chose never again to act in the world without a human partner. He waits and he watches and he asks for human partners through whom he will do marvelous things. That's an interesting observation. God created the world, but once he created man and woman, from then on, God has always elicited our involvement. That's why you pray. Have you ever thought about that? Why should I pray? Have you ever thought, why should I pray if God knows all things? Knows the future, knows the past. Why should I pray? Anybody ever thought that? Come on. I've wrestled through that. God, if you already know, why do I need to pray? Then I realize I need to pray because that's part of how God works nowadays. I've thought sometimes, God, if you want to save the universe, why don't you just show up like in all your power, big face in the sky, say you have an hour to get saved, bow, repent. Those that are not, I'm going to annihilate. Those that are, you come into me, my kingdom. I mean, that would be sort of a quick way of sort of getting the gospel out there. But have you noticed that God doesn't do that? Why? Because God has chosen to work through our partnership. He doesn't do it himself. He puts his greatness in us and he says, now you be my mouthpiece. Man, if I were God, I would do it different. Thank God he's God and I'm not. So he pours his goodness into broken vessels like you and I, and we slip up and fall and mess and swear sometimes and have our issues and are broken. And God says, I'm not going to speak from the skies with a megaphone voice to all the universe. I'm going to put my spirit in you, and you're going to speak for me, and you're going to go to your job and represent me, and my gospel is going to spread through you. I'm going to pour treasures of heaven into earthen vessels, because from now on, since God created mankind, what I am going to work through my creation. I'm going to fill you, be in you, empower you, but my work is done through you. Isn't that an incredible place to be? We are God's workmanship, and he works through us. Don't look to the heavens and say, oh God, there's a lot of violence in Chicago. Stop it. God says, I've poured my spirit in you. You help stop it. Don't look to the heavens and say, oh God, there's injustice in our city. What are you going to do about it? God says, I work through partners. You be my spokesperson. You rise up. You do something about it. You help the kids that don't have education. You help feed the poor. You help stop the violence, because now you are my hands. You are my feet. You are my voice. You are what I work through. Let's not just ask God to do it. Let's be what God has called us to be.
This has been our message called Rethinking Your Job, From Curse to Blessing, which is part of our series called God at Work. You won't want to miss tomorrow's Straight Talk, Turning Your Work into Ministry. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of tonight's message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe.com. We also have some other relevant messages and information that you might enjoy. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great night, and please do join us again for the next Straight Talk called Turning Your Work into Ministry.